Okay, now we're moving on to the money flows for the GLD gold contract. Since this is traded during the daytime, it's quite easy to get the money flow indicator, and you have to have a high, low, and a close, and the volume. And we discussed this 2 weeks ago, and at the time that we had presented that chart, which you can see back in the archives, the gold had not made this blast off. You've seen the recent history. What happened is you made a momentum peak in October where the money flow indicator got above plus 80 or 80, and it was kind of pulling back there, and then all of a sudden it exploded up and it gapped up going into a new high, and then on Friday it gapped down. Well, yeah, sort of gapped down. Okay, so it's filling in that gap, and then the question is, do you think that's the end of the story? Well, a lot of people would conclude that they're writing articles about gold as a bad investment and all that other stuff, and they could be right. So, the question you have is, do you want to believe the money flow T that says that early December is the next peak? And Parker has taken a look at that, and the odd case about that is that it appears that the gold peak is in the same vicinity as the bond low, which I'll get to in a later time. I did think that it was worthwhile to pursue this forecast here as an example of how to make money flow T's, refine a forecast and get out of this trap of having to listen to people tell you that gold is going up or is going down, because it's inherently a very, very volatile situation. If you go back to the first money flow T, you can see the peak projection is about right, and it did have these crazy moves because there was a big correction in the right side of the money flow T, where you kind of got oversold, and you know, then it came back and made a token new high. It actually made a slightly higher high after the date was gone by, but it was okay. That was a pretty ragged advance. This is a much stronger advance because you're coming out of a really strong run into the money flow peak from the early August low, and I don't see any reason why it should be wrong if the concept is good. This takes you back into the when I first discovered time symmetries back in 73, I did it with the transportation average. It was the one that worked between the 1920s and the early 70s time period. And then when I went into business, I found out that the better one was the unweighted value line index, which is where we made our first money. It turned out to be it was great. But then when the great bull market got underway, found out that they got so biased, that the trend was so strong, that you had to find something that was an unweighted market index in order to get the indicator has to go sideways. And it turned out to be the advanced decline line. And the advanced decline line has turned out to be very good because it has both price changes, it has income mixed into it. And generally speaking, you want to have most investors, long-term investors, are interested in the income component as well as capital gain component. So it turns out that it's stuck with this advanced decline T is the right one. Now other people will say, well, let's take all the income stuff out of the advanced decline line, and what will happen is that you get into trouble because the rules will end up changing on you, and you go out and tell you it'll go completely berserk on you, and you can't use your history because you've changed it's the same problem that you get back with the bonds. If you don't have some consistent base for your rules, that you're going to introduce another way for the market to get to sneak out and cause you problems. So seems to me that this is the right time here is to make a forecast and take a position on the gold that it is in fact going to go up to the early December peak. Now, so that's what my thought is. Okay, that's my conclusion and my thought. The interesting thing though is that why would the early relative to the sanity clause, if you notice that the market, that the gold dropped very sharply. Technically, that can be just filling the gap in where it gapped up, and there was, that was over enthusiasm, and then you got down, and it's kind of scary and so forth. But it's pretty easy to see what should happen if the money flow T is correct, and that is that the market has essentially closed the gap. And so Monday, Tuesday-ish, you kind of look for the thing to bottom out, not keep going down, okay, and turn around and then start trying to come up with some kind of a base pattern to carry you up to what's going to become another peak. You can see it's going to be a triple top. If you go back to the right side of the first money flow T, you see you have in May, you have a peak, then you come down, and then you have a little top in early June, and then you have a third top later on. This one, you've seen a top in our previous chart 2 weeks ago. It's come up and made a top here. Now it's going to come back, and it's going to hold a higher low, and then it's going to turn up and go up to the early December top. That's what you're looking for, okay? So if you're looking for a sane way to analyze this, that's basically what you look like. And it could look scary and so forth, but you know, gold is inherently a positive for the long term because it has the mega T, so the risks are reduced. Also, if you got to try to push the gold up in here, it's a good idea not to be pushing anything else. In other words, you don't want to be pushing this this business for things that it doesn't apply to. So the question comes up really, why would you have a case of a gold rising while the stock market is clearly supposed to be going down to the echo low? Well, if you go back to T12, what happened was when they had that dip at the right end of T12, that the Bear Stearns was going under, people began to get worried about the all these mortgages which have been turned into securities and so forth, and that set up the concern for most people. However, if you look at gold, what was obviously happening was that the concern was causing people to move. People to begin to think ahead that there could be a crisis, and those that favored gold started to go into gold. So it's true that the market topped out in October of 07 and started to come down, but the gold continued on the upside, and one would tend to think that what happened was that the problem did cause an initial surge into gold because they just saw the problem, and they think that the gold was a haven. That could be at work here also. I want to hang your head on that one and be adamant to the point that you disregard if gold goes over and does not hold after filling in this gap here and begin to make some good-looking basic patterns, then maybe you're wrong on that point. But I thought that the other one was the convergence of the dates between the government bonds making a low and the gold peak being approximately the same period, which is about a week into the month of December, because that one works out pretty well. Because if you look at the low for the VUSTX or any of the other long-term Treasury bonds, what's going to happen? The price low is going to be coincident with a rise in the interest rate that's going to be available on these long-term bonds, and it's like 4.2%. It trades in a zone of close to 3.5 up to 4.5. You know, the thing bounces around there depending on various concerns about inflation. But if it is going to go down, then the interest rates are probably going to go up towards the 4.4 or 4.5 case. And one can say that rise in interest rates is the free market's determination of, and it does turn out to be a peak in interest rates. That's the point in history where you're going to see the maximum concern over inflation, because our high long-term bond rates are known to be accurate reflection of people's concern about long-term interest rates or long-term inflation governs the rise in the interest rates. At the same time, if you look at the rise in the gold and you say, well, gold should be rising up and it would be at a, you know, it would be at a feather peak, it is possible to interpret a rise in the gold price as also being an alternate way to reflect people's concern about high inflation. And therefore, one would expect that a peak in gold would, representing concerns of inflation as a peak, would also be consistent with a drop in the long-term bond prices, because it also is a maximizes a point of maximum concern for interest rates. So the two should be identical. I wouldn't push that one until you did a lot of research that they do have to be identical. But it certainly is a plus factor relative to the fact that the gold mega T could be going into a blow-off stage. If you look at the volume down at the bottom of the chart, the answer is, it's starting to get high to the point. But you can go back and you can find back at the left of the chart a high volume blow off that's higher. You can find a high volume blow off in May that's a little bit higher than that. And so there is a tendency to say that maybe you haven't had the blow off yet. That's kind of a weak case though. But I think the money flow T's are probably right, and I do think that it is fairly clear that that's what you're looking for. That example is why you want to know about money flow T's. You remember that I mentioned it some time ago that it is, now that real estate is dead, you've got, and you look at the size of the markets, there's this huge market in bonds, there's this huge market in stocks, and there's this not so huge but very important market for gold. And because the mega T for gold is going higher, that market is going to become larger and larger going into the year 2020. So if you only got to figure out how things are going to go and how you try to dissect the bottom zones in the advanced decline T, so you're using insider selling versus the public's bottom zones, and you're trying to equate the two to get them to go so that they flip over completely. The next time you want to find a bottom, you want to find out the public is absolutely bearish and the insiders are buying like crazy, okay? So you're looking for that to flip over. Well, if you can get the money flow for the gold and the bonds to go out, and they both are worried about inflation to some degree, then the crossover point should come right at about 1 week into December. And there should be a sudden surge of they're going to blow the gold out. And if you catch it right and you happen to be in gold, it's worth the try to send it up there, okay? And then when you get to that point, if you see gold is higher, you know, it's over this last high and so forth, and then you go look at the government bond funds, you go VUSTX, and you see it looks like it's really oversold, you just flip the position over. And you'll catch everybody, okay? That's what you're trying to do. And if you get that, then money flow T's is going to become a real big part of T-theory, and it is a discovery of a new T. There's dangers, but you know that I had to do this for 35 years, so I know that the safety is in the big things. Things that are big and strong is where they work real well, and gold is the strongest entity in the investment world right now, and is predicted to be so. I'll take that, and we'll run with that one. Okay, so that does brings us to the end of the Sunday regular one. Wednesday I'll put in a new update. Probably at that time what we're trying to do is find out whether the gold is, might even want to put the gold in the chart and skip the market and just describe that in the audio section, because that's where we're going to try to make a mark and develop some new ideas that are going to turn out to be very powerful for the future. Okay, so we'll see you next Sunday, and we'll have a quick update on Wednesday, for probably just for the gold update. Bye-bye. See you next Sunday.